if nothing else has made you angry yet.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
It is time for an annoying edition of Too Wretched for Radio. I know it could be argued they all are, but this one might be especially annoying because this false teaching involves children. The fastest growing sect, it's not Christian, it is a sect, an aberrant sect of Christianity, is the New Apostolic Reformation movement. It is estimated not quite 400 million people, but it's close, follow a form of NAR teaching, and it is a dog's breakfast deluxe. Some people just suggest we lighten up. Don't worry about a thing. They sort of know the gospel, and people are getting saved, and they just seem so on fire for God. This might really get up your nose. Phil, do you know what I hold in my hand?
I don't know, but it promises to be more annoying than usual, and that scares me.
This would be the kids' curriculum at Bethel Church.
Oh, boy.
I will read, you stop me when you can take it no more or just feel the need to chime in. Are you ready, sir?
I think so.
Week one. This is being taught to children. It's titled, Apostle. Pulling on heaven, do it again. For this lesson, as you prepare, it would be good to study the Welsh Revival. Okay, I thought for sure you're going to stop me right there and say something about the Welsh Revival.
Well, I will if you like. The Welsh Revival
well,
was...
you're supposed to stop me!
Okay, all right, all right. Well, I wasn't, you know, I have ambivalent feelings about the Welsh Revival. There were, it's like a lot of emotionally charged revivals that there's a lot of good that comes out of it and also a lot of craziness. And that was the case. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a young boy during the Welsh Revival, and he always remembered it fondly. And I've got a few books in my library describing the Welsh Revival. I have a feeling that those who wrote the record of it sort of polished it up a bit so it doesn't sound as bizarre as maybe as it was. But like happens in a lot of revivals, it spawned a surplus of people who thought they were hearing directly from God. That wasn't the nature of the revival. The nature of the revival was widespread conversions. Lots of people from Welsh backgrounds tended to be coal miners and working class people who became converted and became devoted and serious minded Christians. So I would say overall my impression of the Welsh Revival is positive, but there were this surplus of people who claimed they were hearing directly from God. There was some strange phenomena that sort of presaged...
Yeah, I was going to say, there was that too.
It presaged the charismatic movement. This was early in the 20th century. The charismatic movement was too new to actually be connected. It wasn't connected with the Welsh Revival, but later generations saw the two things as somehow parallel. What was going on in America at Azusa Street and what was going on in Wales with the Welsh Revival, similar kinds of strange phenomena with people, you know, lapsing into coma-like states and, you know, getting prophecies directly from God. And a lot of that, I mean, you can read about similar things that happened during Jonathan Edwards' time in the First Great Awakening. He wrote a great analysis of the fact that whenever the Lord is doing a great work like a revival, the devil will throw in a lot of confusion and craziness. And Jonathan Edwards, of course, warned against the craziness, but he also made the point that the existence of crazy phenomena like that don't nullify the benefits of the revival itself. And I would say the same thing about the Welsh Revival, except that in our generation, and particularly in the wake of some of the extreme charismatic craziness of these days, people have tended to home in on the crazy phenomena rather than the fact that so many people got soundly converted.
Yeah, I'm looking, you know, I'm at YouTube right now, Phil. You're precisely right. Anybody who preaches on it tends to be somebody from those circles.
Yeah.
And they use it usually in conjunction with the Azusa Street Revival.
Yeah.
Now, would you like to hear an extremely rare recording of Wales revivalist Evan Roberts? This is his own voice recorded in 1905. Remember, this is a first-class radio production. I'm going to play this from my cell phone into my microphone. We hope that you appreciated that. That was the Welsh revivalist. It's kind of a muddled mess. We don't have any recordings, but there are some documentaries at YouTube. I think, Phil, we should watch them with some discernment because the history of it is a bit of a mixed bag. All right, now back to the Bethel teaching, week one on apostleship. Position your heart to receive from the amazing things God did. In each testimony, there's an invitation for you and the children to have God move in your lives in the same way. As you go about your week, try stepping out into something you've recently heard a testimony about, healing, word of knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, in fact, maybe I shouldn't have stopped you, because about healing, word of knowledge and all that, what they're focused on is this strange phenomenon. Like I said, there were two disparate aspects of the Welsh revival. One was the large number of conversions and the proliferation of gospel preaching, and it was not, if you could be transported back in time, you would look at this and you wouldn't think, well, this is just like a charismatic meeting. There were instances of strange phenomena and people doing strange things and weird people behaving in strange ways. Most of them were specifically and deliberately pushed out to the margins of the revival. That wasn't the focus of it. The focus was the gospel preaching and the conversion. But now, 100 years later, as people remember that, charismatics in particular seem to want to single out the craziness that was going on and say, this is what God was doing, as if somehow that was the most valuable aspect of that revival, rather than the conversions and the gospel preaching. And that, in my mind, pretty much epitomizes what's wrong with the contemporary charismatic movement, and particularly the NAR. There is very little, if any, gospel preaching going on in the NAR today, and lots of focus on the private prophecies and weird phenomena. And so when they talk about God moving in your life with some of these, how was it he said it, some of these same ways, they're not talking about being converted and responding to the gospel. They're talking about the bizarre phenomena, and that's what they want to drum up, and that's what they're going to see as evidence that the Lord is working today. But my argument would be, look, where the gospel is not being proclaimed, the Lord is not working. It's something else.
Well, you're exactly right, because it says, try stepping out into something you've recently heard a testimony about, healing, word of knowledge. So it's all about the fantastic stuff and not the theological stuff. And Phil, remember, they're teaching this to the kids, and they've got the kids practicing to heal, to have a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
Little children, that galls me a bit.
It does. In fact, there's some famous YouTube videos from Bethel of some of these children's meetings where the children are being taught how to be slain in the spirit and, you know, dissolve into holy laughter and feel like they're on fire and all that sort of stuff. It is.
And you've got to learn how to heal people, because, you know, there's an art to that supernatural gift of healing that you've got to learn. Just nonsense.
Yeah, well, same thing with the prophecy. They teach people how to prophesy. Yep. You know, it's not,
right.
It's like, it's not a gift at all. It's a learned
books
behavior.
Books written on the subject, and lots of them. All right, here we go. Week number two, pulling on heaven. This lesson is about thinking from heaven's perspective. With your team, go through the questions from the small group section and ask Holy Spirit. Please notice the lack of definite article. Ask Holy Spirit if there are places where you've had stinking thinking instead of God's perspective.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
Stop. Allow. Just stop.
Mm-hmm.
You've pointed out before, you're the only one that's ever pointed that out to me, the tendency they have to drop the definite article when they speak of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that, or what it means.
It's more intimate.
Really?
You wouldn't say, hey, the mother, Can I have some more cookies and milk?
I don't know. You know,
you just call her mother.
If I were talking in normal language about the roles of people in a home, I would refer to the mother rather than just mother as a title.
Okay, but that's what they would say. You asked, I answered.
Okay,
they would just say it's more intimate, it's more personal. Number three, week three, pulling on heaven, praying in tongues. It's such a powerful tool.
Okay, stop.
Practice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Praying in tongues, which is a debatable practice in the first place. This is how charismatics justify the fact that what they call speaking in tongues is not speaking in foreign languages like you read about in the Book of Acts and the New Testament. But they take an obscure and debatable comment by Paul from the New Testament, where he says, you know, if I pray in a tongue, I edify myself. Where if you take that in its context, there's no way Paul of all people would never say it's a good thing to edify yourself. Edify means build up. And he would be saying this is a bad thing if you're just trying to build yourself up. And he's rebuking people who were using these supernatural displays of supernatural giftings like this, speaking in tongues, to basically build themselves up. They had contests to see who could do it more spectacularly. I mean, it was the classic performance like you see in a lot of charismatic churches today. And Paul is not saying that that's a good thing, but out of an obscure and debatable comment that Paul makes, charismatics have developed this entire theology about praying in tongues and how it's a powerful tool and all that. Whereas it's never actually advocated or spoken about anywhere else in Scripture. If it's such a powerful tool, why don't we see Jesus doing it? Why don't we see the apostles do? Why isn't it mentioned in any of the other epistles? It's only mentioned in Corinth, in the First Corinthian epistle, where Paul is trying to correct abuses of spiritual gifts, just like you see in the charismatic movement today. And yet, they've got this whole theology about what a powerful tool this is, when Paul himself says, look, I'd rather speak, you know, I forget exactly how he says it, but the idea is I'd rather speak 10 words that people can understand than a whole bunch of gibberish that nobody does understand.
Here's your problem. You're putting God in a box. We move from the section of pulling on heaven to week six, apostle, healthy living. God wants people healed. As you go out this week and practice praying for the sick, this is for children, remember it's not a question of whether or not it is God's will to heal. It's always his will to heal.
Okay, stop. Because that's just a lie. It is not always his will to heal. And the fact that people die, it's appointed unto man once to die, everybody
Bill
dies.
Bill Johnson's wife has cancer right now.
Really?
And she's seeking treatment all over the globe right now. That is just a verifiable lie. But here's how they get away with it. God wants to heal, but he can't if you don't go out in the streets and pull on somebody's shoe.
Not only that, I don't know that I've ever seen Bill Johnson that he's not wearing glasses.
And exactly.
I've actually seen a video of him talking about people getting their eyesight healed while he's wearing glasses. Anyway.
Optometrist, heal yourself. I know it. I know. The whole thing is nutty. Week eight. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Healthy living prophecy. Please remember this is for children at the Bethel Church, which should not make us jump for joy. Today's lesson is hearing from God. It's one of the biggest keys to having a healthy relationship with him. Take time this week to prophesy over each other.
Okay, stop.
And as you go about your week,
one of the biggest keys, they say.
Don't know. Okay.
Wow. I mean, you said at the beginning this was going to really irritate me, and you're right. You're absolutely right, because
this is children that are being indoctrinated. And they're being indoctrinated
with stuff that Scripture specifically warns us against. The idea that you can concoct out of your own imagination, or that someone can teach you to do it, a prophecy from God, and make that prophecy over another. Are they actually encouraging children to prophesy over one another, so that
yes,
one 7-year
old
is
someone you don't know? Find a stranger, prophesy.
It says that?
Are there just just so you know, Phil, just before you get a little too cynical on this, they do put some brakes on this teaching for children. So in parentheses, it says when you prophesy over someone you don't know, but please don't use a pirate ship illustration. That one is already taken. So they do put some brakes on this thing. Here's the continuation of week number 8. Try using some of the tools from the activation section. It's exciting to see the kids activated, not only in hearing God, but sharing what he has told them to encourage others. Okay.
I'll make a prophecy right now that the entire generation of children who are being indoctrinated with this stuff are going to be, they're going to grow up to be ardent atheists because they will discover, and children are a little bit more honest about this sort of stuff even than adults are, they'll discover pretty quickly that their prophecies don't come true, the healings don't always come, and therefore they're going to lose confidence in what they're told. If they're being told, look, God always wants to heal, and you can prophesy over your friends, and as soon as these things end in disaster, and they will, the children who've been indoctrinated this way are going to think, well, that was Christianity, I gave it a try, I know it's false, and they'll become, in many cases, militant atheists. So what they're doing is inoculating an entire generation of young people against Christianity by teaching them material that's not in the Word of God and claiming that this is Christianity. It's a travesty.
I can't wait to see the kids out on the campus. You're exactly right. All right, now I'm going to fast forward to week 11 because we're going to hear a name we have not heard in the previous 10 weeks of lessons. Do you know what that name is, Phil?
No.
Here it is. See if it jumps out at you. This lesson focuses on God's authority that he has given us to heal the sick. This is the power of your voice, authority to heal the sick. As you go out and pray for people this week, remember that you have authority because you're under his authority, because Jesus was under his authority. Week 11, we got to Jesus, and it's under the authority of the Father. Because I have a funny feeling this is bad kenosis teaching.
Is that literally true? I mean, you looked at that literature, and that is the first time in all those lessons that Jesus' name has been mentioned?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
You know, that's really all you need to know about it. There's nothing gospel-centered about that.
Holy Spirit is mentioned a lot.
Of course. That's a charismatic trademark. They think the God. Holy Spirit's role is to point to himself. When Jesus said that the role of the Holy Spirit actually is to convict people of their sin and direct them to Christ. And if you don't get to Christ until, what is that, week 7, week 9?
11.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah, but the lesson isn't about Jesus. It's about the power of your voice. We want the kids to grow up knowing their authority in God and that they are powerful with just a word. That is so dangerous and so awful.
It is, and in the history of the church, there have been a lot of bad teachings and a lot of bad curriculum and a lot of bad ideas thrown out there, but I don't know that I've ever heard anything quite as bad as what you're reading me now.
Oh, we're not done yet. We've got one more week to go, but before we get to that, Phil, I think there was a hint of the bad teaching. I'm almost willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because I just don't think Bill Johnson is all that bright. He's certainly not theologically sound. He doesn't study the Bible. It's all about spinning yarns to fabricate stories to make people believe that they're going to do a miracle soon. He teaches what some people have claimed is an aberrant kenosis theology that Jesus emptied himself of his divine attributes, like he left him in heaven and wasn't fully God, fully man. I just don't think he's been clear enough. I don't think he would know the difference or even understand what the problem is.
No, I agree with you. And that's a common problem with prosperity gospel charismatics. They are, for reasons not really clear to me, other than the fact that they just hate biblical truth and they want to devise their own religion. They are drawn to this notion that there was really nothing special about Christ. While they don't want to deny his deity outright, they'll say that basically he gave up any use of any of his divine attributes so that everything he did as a man in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then they treat the Holy Spirit as if this is some foreign power to Christ. And frequently will say things like, because Jesus didn't do this in his own power, he did it in the Spirit's power. Therefore, everything you see Jesus doing, you can do yourself, which is just another variation on Satan's lie that you can be like God. That's how bad this is. It's a satanic lie.
Week 13, our final lesson. There's 15, but here we go. This week's lesson. Well, I'll just read this. Let's give it a go. This week's lesson is activating the kids in words of knowledge. They're powerful ways to speak into people's lives. It can open up doors that otherwise would not have been open for people to receive from you. It is important to know it's okay to get it wrong. Sometimes you'll get it wrong, and you'll find a lot of times you'll get it right. And you'll just get better
at it.
Phil, I'm sorry.
All right.
That was actually from Matt Chandler's Sunday school lesson, so forget that that ever happened.
Was that really?
Did you want to say something, sir?
Was that?
No, but it could have been.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?